Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing, a busy one. A ton of college football to get to. What a weekend it was, for the most part. Not locally, but just college football in the NFL. God love you. You're alive and well. Amazing performances, high drama. Friday, not so much. Nebraska, can we say disemboweled? Disemboweled.
Mm-hmm. That's a
by the Hawkeyes. We spent some time on it Saturday morning. Most of you were sleeping it off, so we can rediscuss it on Monday. Blackshirt Jay is here. TJ Henning's frustrated. He started eating glass. He's so angry about the Nebraska loss to Iowa. Myself, I need some happy pills because asthma's winning today. Moving on, Michael Bruns is 15 minutes away, 24/7 sports. 1 hour from now, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride will be with us. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. The Iowa loss, introspection that may or may not happen with the coaching staff. Bruce Reed is looking for a realtor. I mean, all those to get into. Bowl games and afterthought. Penn State and Wisconsin are playing for the Big Ten Championship. Ohio State and Michigan beat the crap out of each other, and it was glorious. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh got the University of Michigan fined $10,000. My dear Pirate, Coach Leach, they got destroyed by Washington. What else went on? Kansas City, dirty to kick it in Denver last night. That was tons of fun. And the Raiders, dislocated pinky and all, are 9 wins. Good. This year. Okay, let's just ask the question. We'll eventually get into 9-3, and if you're all good about that number, of course you are, but it's important how you get to 9-3. But let's ask the question. Did Nebraska run and hide on Friday? What I mean by that is Iowa, from the get-go, threw punches. Whatever bar fight parallel you want to drive or use is accurate. Some guys stand, some guys run. Some guys grab a chair and hit back harder. Friday was an embarrassment. Friday was out of the blue. You could see and talk yourself into losing to Iowa by a field goal. Tough place to play. It's senior day. They're not as bad as their record, okay? Mm-hmm. And most of you here that wear red think you're above and beyond superior to Iowa football. And I get that. You've got history, and despite being in some close games and even losing to Iowa, you're just better because recruiting rankings and talent say you're better. That's not been the case. And you got just destroyed. You got beat up. And sometimes you didn't want to punch back. That's how I looked at Friday. This isn't personal. This isn't, I don't care who wins. But from what I saw a much tougher team, and I saw a much tougher program. That's the question moving forward. Can Nebraska be tough enough? They weren't tough enough on Friday. Blackshirt Jay, you've heard this noise before. You've been a part of it. You've been a part of the pats on the back with great wins. You've been a part of light the torches. This team's the worst thing ever. Okay, you've been a part of this this circus. What did you see Friday? Did you see a team that was tough enough in Nebraska football? They didn't look very tough Friday. They looked tough against Wisconsin. So who's the real Nebraska this year? Yeah. What I saw was a team that just had the tank drained, and I think the tipping point of the year, if you want to look back and be real honest, was overtime loss to Wisconsin because the team went downhill after that. And can they be better? Can they be tougher? Can they be stronger? You've got brutal schedules moving forward. You got a bowl game to finish this year, but 9-3 don't feel as great as you thought 9-3 would feel.
Yeah, it's tough to really pinpoint, you know, exactly where things kind of went sideways. I mean, Ohio State's that's a different ball game.
You're not going to win that game. Right. You're going to get beat soundly. It's right. Just how bad this
game
it look.
This game feels different than that one, in my opinion, obviously, with the loss of Tommy. But overall, I'm still scratching what went wrong. I mean, I know what went wrong.
Tell me.
This football team's soft.
Okay.
We're soft.
So my eyes aren't deceiving me.
No, I mean, listen, you got owned up front on both sides of the ball, no doubt about it. And on one side of the ball, you've been owned for probably 95% of the year.
Is that due to injury or just lack of talent?
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of, you know, here's what I have an issue with is I know how they practice. I hear things about how they practice. I'm not there watching it. I don't know. But there's a lot of, I just don't like when this team, there's a lot of chirping going on and things like that. And they talk the game real well. But they don't back it up. See, I see a little bit of that with this team right now. They want to be about the business, but they're not going about the business the way they need to be. They look tired. Now I don't know if the you know, losing a day of preparation, if that threw them off. Because I know they came in Sunday and they didn't practice on Sunday. They did their conditioning and a light lift. I know they practiced in pads Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, I don't know how much. It wasn't like full pads. I mean, it's half rack, but any more, you're in half pads. You might as well be in full pads just because you never tackle, like live tackling. You don't do that ever during the season.
So if you don't do that during the season and 98.8% of college football, not named Bill Snyder, not named Nick Saban, gets gnarly on you Monday through Thursday.
I don't even think they life tackle scrimmage during the week.
I think they make it uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, more uncomfortable, more physical. And those are the two that come to my mind because there's eyewitness accounts of everybody hitting one another, either in a full-on fight because the O's sick of the D midway through a season, or there it's just a more physical approach. Listen. Nebraska matched Wisconsin midway through the year and couldn't get it pulled off. Nebraska, see, this isn't to go knee-jerk and burn everything down because you got beat by 30 by Iowa. Because you've shown the ability to be a good football team. And you did it against Wisconsin, and you were right there. You showed a lot of guts in the fourth quarter. So to say soft, that might be too knee-jerkish, but I think there's enough evidence to indicate, yes, despite the fourth quarters, you've had to put those fourth quarters together against teams like Indiana, against teams like Illinois. I mean, you didn't just pummel teams you're supposed to be better than. You beat them and you outlasted them and fine. But
right.
you're a lot closer to Minnesota, and you're lucky to beat Minnesota, who, by the way, had four leads against their four losses going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You're a lot closer to Minnesota than you are at sniffing Ohio State, Michigan, and for that matter, at least what the calendar says on 2016, Iowa. Mm-hmm. So let's just stop pretending that Nebraska is close to being anything but
a team that
lives in the West,
right?
But they're a long way from winning the West.
We're a long ways from Ohio State and Michigan.
You're a ways from between your performance with Iowa and Wisconsin. We don't know where they're at with either of those.
Here's why I say it's soft. So this team is, to me, offensively, is a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of deception. They don't line it up and just say, "Hey, we're going to pound you." It's
West Coast.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, there's different ways. But in the Big Ten, I just don't know if that's – when it comes to beating Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan State, I don't know. I mean, it worked obviously last year. But day in and day out, It'll get you by Illinois. It'll get you by Maryland. It'll get you by Minnesota. It'll get you by those lower tier teams.
And that's what it was this year. You got by.
You got by. I mean, you're down at halves majority of the time. It's, to me, it's smoke and mirrors. It's not lining up. And we're still, we talk about this, being able to line up and run the ball when we need to run the ball. And when they know it, it's you know what, it's zone blocking. It's just, there's no, we don't own the line of scrimmage. We haven't all year.
How does that change?
It changes your mentality and how you practice, I think. And what it takes to accomplish that is you have to do it multiple days throughout the week in practice. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. It doesn't take a genius to stand up here and say they practice tough, they practice physical. Then how come you don't see it on the field on Saturday? That's how you practice is what you get. I think in all purpose, I think they want to get there. But in my honest opinion, I think it's going to take these coaches. They're not used to that. They're not. They don't. They haven't. Mike Riley never did that at Oregon State. He hasn't. Never. You don't do it. You don't do it in the NFL. That's for damn sure. Because it's just different. You can afford to win a few games. You play 16 games throughout the year. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But in college football, where one loss is
one loss doesn't dig your grave anymore either.
Right. But I'm just saying it can be
used to.
You can be detrimental to your season. It can be. Look at what the Wisconsin game so far this year. I think that was pretty detrimental to our psyche for the rest of the year.
I think because they didn't win it, it was detrimental. Yeah. I think what broke their psyche from a confidence standpoint was Ohio State.
Well, a little bit.
I think they emptied the tank for Wisconsin, and they rallied post Ohio State, and then they survived Maryland and Minnesota, and then it was on E. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse for that, but it was a reality.
Right, but it's just there's too much. I mean, listen, I go, we – Our interior D tackles acted like they never saw a double team on Friday. That was a little disheartening. We changed it up with some movement. I get it. You had to do something, but that cannot happen. It just cannot happen. We haven't won the line of scrimmage from the majority. You just don't see guys playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage up front.
Is that a scheme or is that just a?
I think it's a little bit of, I know we're young up front. I'm speaking towards more defensive line. Sure. Offensive line, there's numerous issues as well. But young, trying to inexperienced, you'll get better. But I think you just has to become a greater commitment from the coaches because it's going to take them time to embrace that. I mean, I think this staff is so afraid of getting guys hurt.
Which you saw to their... devil's advocate here, to their concern level for that. You saw what happened when you lost a guy like Foster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. But we've talked about it numerous times.
Your ability level.
You can't worry about it. That's why you worry about developing depth. That's why you recruit the right type of players, and that's why you spend the time getting guys the reps and what you need to be. And I don't know. I mean, if that's an issue, why is it, we don't see guys like Michael Decker. We don't see... the guys.
There's bodies with talent.
Jalen Barnett. You don't see these. I mean, that's a little concerning to me as well. Why aren't these guys? I mean, what's going on? But the physicalness up front, I don't care. I mean, people, you can keep getting excited about these 4-star wide receivers. I don't give two you-know-whats about them. I want to see 4 or 5 D linemen in O linemen because until we start getting those guys up front, this team's not going to continue to go to build. I mean, listen,
You need talent on the edge.
Well, I'm not throwing away the 9-3. Listen, that's a great improvement. I said 9-3 this year is definitely a step forward. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, our losses, besides the Wisconsin game, you just looked
outclassed.
You looked like a bad football team. But this team has to get better up front. It has to get more physical, and it has to start in practice. You have to get the right players. You have to get the recruits. That's where it needs to start. It's all fun and games getting 4- and 5-star receivers. That's great. That doesn't win you Big Ten titles. That doesn't get you into the playoff. It doesn't. You have to have time. You need to establish an identity. And this team doesn't have one. We're not a physical football team. You can't – I mean, I don't care. Even though you're 9-3, you can't say every game we've gone into – literally, what game have we gone into? Like, we literally manhandled that team.
None.
That's missing from this football team right now. You can't. you can't. It was hang, you know, it was getting punched in the face, battle back, win the fourth quarter, great. But it shouldn't have to happen that way. You know, you need to start out throwing those punches. You shouldn't have to take them and get knocked up against the ropes and have to fight back. You know, you shouldn't have to get rope-a-doped. You know, this team needs to be built. The identity of this football team needs to be built on the physicality of being up front, because you can win football games even at your best, even when your quarterback's at 70% because of a bad hamstring. You can win football games because of that. You can, but you can't if you are catching blocks, catching double teams, don't have any fire. You know, you're not going to win many games in the Big Ten.
Do we have time for Banker? Banker kind of hinted at that after the Iowa game. Iowa's practices, and what are they like?
Not a surprise. I mean, we saw the same team last year, you know, and we saw the same team on film, you know, this year. And, you know, that's credit to them. I mean, that's what they do. We were just talking about that a little bit in the locker room. You know, he's saying, I bet their practices are like a bloodbath, you know, because both sides of the ball kind of emulate that, you know, and surprised, you know, more disappointed than surprised.
Well, there you go. Iowa practices, that mentality.
It's just shocking to me.
Can it change? Needs to change. We'll spend plenty more time on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity. Michael Brunt's coming up, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Michael Brunts, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Brunts on Twitter. Bruntsy, good weekend. Happy Turkey Day. How you been?
How about you, how you doing?
I'm all right. You know, aside from the Black Friday ball game, if you're a Nebraska fan, the Wooden Classic, I wasn't extremely discouraged on that, but could have been better. Contact period has started, so coaches and assistant coaches, most of them anyway, out making visits. You had a dismissal yesterday, so it's not an unbusy holiday weekend, I'm sure. You have some thoughts. First and foremost, let's start with the Iowa loss by Nebraska. Your reaction, your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, really just pretty surprising. When you look at, you know, for me, the front seven on defense kind of, you know, represented how the day seemed to go for Nebraska. Just never really got into rhythm on up front. The offense never got into rhythm. Just one of those kind of ugly Big Ten-type games where, you know, I don't want to say Nebraska seemed like they didn't want to be there, but it just didn't seem that they were the aggressors in that game. You know, I think that, you know, having a limited Tommy with the hamstring injury definitely hurt the offense a little bit. You know, the inability to hit those downfield passes, which you know, Iowa was basically daring Nebraska to do, made things a little difficult. And you know, on defense, when you give up big plays like that to an offense that doesn't normally get them, that's kind of a tough way to live. And, you know, Iowa, once they got up, they're a team that can just kind of pound at you, and they were getting yards up front and movement up front, which we really hadn't seen a whole lot from, you know, Nebraska's defensive line. So just a really kind of, you know, sour way to end the regular season where you seem to be making a lot of progress. And, you know, it's unfortunately, you kind of go into the off season now and bowl practices asking a lot of questions about, you know, the direction of the program and where changes need to be made and you know, kind of what the next couple months hold for continuing to build this program back to where it needs to be.
Momentum definitely stalled with the loss to Iowa. Michael Brunts with us, Hail Varsity Radio, 24/7 Sports. And the sense I get is not only surprise based on the result, but there's a bit of panic with just how physical Nebraska is. That's kind of been the buzz here the last few days. Is Nebraska physical enough? Iowa manhandled them. Do you think that's a real issue, or is it a one-game instance? And Ohio State is something you just kind of set off to the side because they're that good. Nebraska played pretty physical against Wisconsin, didn't get it done, played very physical against Minnesota. Minnesota's a really good football team that just is just doesn't get the credit I think it deserves. They've led in four of their losses, you know. So are you thinking big picture that Nebraska's physicality is an issue, or is it just an instance when Iowa was ready on Friday, Nebraska was not?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a complicated question because I think, you know, for the most part this year, Nebraska held up pretty well, defensively at least, against some pretty decent offensive lines, Wisconsin, Minnesota. You know, I didn't think that, you know, Ohio State was really gashing them too much. But, you know, I just think line play overall on both sides is such a key to playing winning football, and that's been an area that Nebraska has really been inconsistent in for a number of years. I mean, the defensive line was young coming into this year. They were going to need to build depth, and, you know, guys like Kevin Maurice played really well and kind of bought those young guys time. But I think it's kind of an issue of depth. I think offensive line, you had a number of injuries, but that group has to get better, be able to run the ball more consistently going into next season. You know, does that mean that Nebraska needs to go Junction Boys every, you know, three times a week during the season? I don't think so. I just don't think that that's a reality given some of the depth issues that Nebraska has and just the you know, scholarship limitations being what they are. And, you know, just you can't afford to get guys hurt, but, you know, maybe you look at, you know, during spring ball, do things a little bit differently? During fall camp, do you practice a little bit differently? You know, a lot of teams during the season don't, you know, go out there and just hit and hit and hit. It's just not possible. But, you know, I think playing physical football is a bit of a mindset. I think that there might be some teams in the Big Ten that embody that maybe a little bit more than Nebraska. So, you know, I think Mike Riley's kind of shown since he's been in Nebraska that he's willing to take a hard look at, you know, changing things if there's a deficiency or, you know, maybe a better way of doing things. So I would suspect that that'll be something they'll take a look at in the offseason. But, you know, I think, you know, when you're looking at areas where Nebraska has to get better as a program, they have to get back to solid offensive and defensive line play. I think it's been, you know, what, 15 years Nebraska's had two all-conference offensive linemen, and that just can't that can't happen. You have to get better there. So, like I said, I think it's a little bit more of a complicated answer, and I think Nebraska's going to have to kind of look at everything and see how they can fix that in the offseason.
Junction Boys, good reference. Love it. Those rocks in the middle of the field were a little rough to watch. Michael Brunts with us on Hale Varsity Radio. Bruntsy, Bruce Reed, obviously full-time assistant, a lot of money to do so, to be great at that phase of football. Nebraska wasn't this year, and Nebraska's moved on. Not a surprise that Coach Riley made a change. Bruce Reed, though, do you think he's the victim here of the someone needs to be sacrificed after the Iowa game, or the performance just kind of came to a head and is what it is with the Iowa performance? I mean, it was glaring on special teams. Do you think this was the right move by Riley to make a change?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at not just the Iowa game, but all year, I mean, that group had been really inconsistent outside of, you know, Drew Brown and his kicking. I think that some kind of move needed to be made there. And you know, listening to Mike Riley a couple of weeks ago talk about their inconsistencies on special teams, you could tell that he was frustrated that group wasn't, you know, playing good football or, you know, showing any kind of improvement. You know, the thing that was interesting to me was, you know, this wasn't like getting rid of Hank Hughes last year where it was somebody that just been with Riley for a year. I mean, Bruce Reed's been around Mike Riley a number of stops for 16 years. And I think it's kind of a signal that, you know, he's willing to look at everything to kind of get things turned around and headed the right direction. So I'd be curious to see what direction they go. You know, to be at Thompson on staff as a graduate assistant has already been, he's been recruiting from Memorial Stadium, which is about all he can do as a graduate assistant. I think, you know, he would make a natural fit. But the other thing that's kind of out there too is the NCAA is looking at adding an extra assistant coach. So, you know, you could potentially have two new faces on Nebraska's coaching staff if that legislation goes through. So It'll be an interesting offseason in that regard. I think, like I said, it was something needed to be done with the special teams because, you know, it didn't cost Nebraska a win or a loss this year, but it really didn't bring a lot to the table. And that's an area that you kind of have to be good in, and Nebraska has for a long time. So I think Mike Riley was right in making a change there, and we'll be curious to see kind of what direction they go to fill that spot and maybe another one if they have the opportunity with an extra assistant coach.
What's your temperature on Nebraska basketball right now? 4-2, hung with UCLA, beat Dayton, and really didn't do much shooting-wise in the second half against Vatek.
Yeah, I mean, that whole tournament, I think, was kind of, what a young basketball team looks like. You come out, you beat Dayton, you play pretty well against a really good UCLA team, and then kind of have a dud against Virginia Tech. I mean, that's kind of what happens, I think, when you're a young team. You play three games in a four-day stretch. And, right now, I mean, Glenn Watson's playing, for the most part, pretty good basketball. Ty Webster's really elevated his game. They're getting stuff from Ed Morrow in the post. It's a matter of can they get those kind of role players and bench guys up to speed. I mean, the last couple of games there, Nebraska really didn't get anything from the freshmen off the bench and that rotation. So that's going to be the challenge, I think, for 10 miles is, how do you kind of bring those freshmen along, the Isaiah Robies, the Jeriah Warrens, and the Jordy Schmongas, and get something out of them without, really kind of sacrificing their confidence. So I think, for the most part, you have to feel pretty encouraged by the way they played in California, but it's really going to get, pretty tough here pretty quick. I mean, you've got Clemson coming up on Wednesday. You got South Dakota. It's going to be a tough matchup at home on Saturday. And then you got Creighton in Kansas right after that. So it doesn't get any easier. And you're really going to need some of those guys, the young guys in the rotation, to grow up pretty quickly.
Brunsie, names and locations to watch for with Nebraska when it comes to recruiting this week.
Yeah, Nebraska's kind of, making the rounds right now. Mike Riley was actually out in Delaware today to see Avery Roberts along with linebackers coach Trent Bray. Kind of a really important commit there that they want to, make sure that they have wrapped up. He's going to be on campus in January. So, I think it was a good thing to kind of get out and see him. I would expect that Riley's going to be around seeing a lot of guys who are going to be early enrollees, commits, and guys that are going to be making decisions and enrolling early. Another guy to watch, Karan Hafiz out of Jacksonville, cornerback who visited earlier this fall. Brian Stewart was in to see him last night. It was his first stop. He's an early enrollee as well. He's going to be making his decision in a couple of weeks here. I would expect Riley to be down there in the next 10 days or so. And then an interesting offer last night. Keith Williams was in Youngstown, Ohio to see Lynn Bowden. He's a top 247 athlete, plays quarterback, but Nebraska would be recruiting him as a slot wide receiver. Really talented kid. Probably is going to be Mr. Football in Ohio this year. Isn't going to end up at Ohio State. So, Kentucky's there. Nebraska offered last night. I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to get a visit there. But kind of an intriguing senior class offer there, or senior film offer. So, that's kind of where Nebraska's at right now, is that they're trying to get around to those, senior film guys, but also making sure that the guys who are already in the class stay there.
10 seconds. How did you react to the Sunday night game?
Awful. It was awful. All of it awful. The two, off both posts, I think it was just done that way to make it a little bit more excruciating.
Well, Brunsie, we were thinking about you with that donkey orange. All right, there's always next time against KC. Michael Bruns, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruns on Twitter. Brunsie, be good. Thanks for a few minutes.
No problem, Schmitty. We'll talk to you later.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks to Michael Bruns, 20 Minutes Away, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, Safe Driving. Demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. 'Tis the holiday season, and well wishes and goodwill towards all those types of sentiments will be sent out. A card needs to be signed by the 2016 Blackshirts for this. Will Compton lost a bet. Sheriff is the offensive guard for out of Iowa for the Redskins. Mm-hmm. Will's a starting middle linebacker and a captain. He bet on his Big Red. This happened.
What's up, guys? This is Will Compton. I wish I would have went to Iowa. Go Hawks.
Damn.
May God have mercy.
Say it ain't so, Will.
On Riley's soul for making him do that.
Hey, it's bet's a bet. Paid up.
Did you have to do anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you bet on Nebraska.
Oh,
they
yeah,
didn't
all the
deliver.
Time. All the time.
What happened?
I remember when I was the Niners, I bet. Oh, this was back. Well, this is 07, so I lost a lot of bets that year.
That's so
I know
wrong.
We had one or two guys from Kansas, and we went to Kansas.
Oh,
I bet
no.
That one. And I had a no, they were interested in like wearing a shirt. They wanted like something good. So I bought them like a huge ginormous. I had to get them a huge bottle of like Grey Goose.
Okay.
And it was like $80, like the biggest bottle you could find. He's like, you got to go to this liquor store. They carry them here. That's what I want. I'm like, that's fair.
Man. Did they at least pour some for you to help get over the 76 put up on them?
Nope, I did not. Yeah, I don't. There's a couple. I don't think I. I don't know if I won a lot that.
No,
that year.
You didn't.
I think I got smart because I know one of my guys in linebacker room, Hannibal Navies, was from Colorado. I think he wanted to bet, and I'm like,
No.
No. We'll.
Let me get back to you.
Mm-hmm. we'll pump the brakes on that one, there, pal.
Thank you, Hannibal. Bruce Reed. Thanks for coming. Bruce Reed let go yesterday. The email went out. You've seen Riley's statement thanking Bruce Reed for his time, not only at Nebraska, but also throughout his career. 16 years with Riley in the NFL at Oregon State, at Nebraska, $450,000 a year. That has drawn the ire of many, many of you because of what you're spending and what you're getting.
Stealing.
Punt return, kickoff return, pretty much non-existent except for the DPE return against Oregon. Mm-hmm. I'll say that, but that's more DPE. Let's not kid ourselves. Impossible situation if you're Caleb Lightborn or Bruce Reed.
Yeah,
from a punting standpoint, all you can do is continue to help foster the kid's confidence, because that's what it is. He's kicking 1,000 footballs a day in practice. He's talented enough. He's a hand-picked recruit. You're giving a scholarship to punt. It's that important. It's that emphasized. It's been a position that, okay, we'll see if it works. Maybe that third phase will be a difference maker. It didn't do anything to help you this year, and there were games or halves, like the second half of the Iowa game specifically, but much more. There's more than just one instance or one half of football where the special teams took away from your performance. There was miscommunication. There was disorganization. And it was time for Riley to address that. And his frustration had been building and building and building the last month.
Yeah, a lot of mixed bag comments.
Of the season. And it was finally time to move on. Kavita Thompson, will he be put on full time? He's a really good recruiter. That's the word. And as a tight ends coach, do you go another direction? Does Nebraska get a break to have two new assistants brought on based on what the NCAA decides with expanding the coaching, the assistant position coaching staff numbers? Mm-hmm. So that's all up in the air. But Bruce Reed is gone. And part of me is, the performance didn't match the investment. The other part of this is the natives are restless. They're fired up. So here is a bit of a sacrifice. You could have saved your longtime partner for another year. Maybe knocked his salary down. I don't know how you go about doing it, but you didn't have to fire him. As much as people have screamed about getting rid of the guy that makes $450 all season long, you could have kept him for another year. I'm not saying you should have done that, but part of me knows that this will appease some in the wake of a tough finish in November, in the wake of a tough finish in Iowa. And right now, you move on from a D-line coach that you didn't hire, or it wasn't your guy handpicked. So you get rid of one dude. This is a second year in a row now where you get rid of somebody to offer a sacrifice to the volcano, so to speak.
Right.
Does that trend continue moving forward if things don't get better? You have a buffer there where, all right, it's your turn to walk the plank if things don't get better. That's pro mentality, but Riley's lived in that world. Look, he has a right to do what he wants to do. I'm not defending Bruce Reed or the special teams play this year at all. But people were and are still fired up and upset about the Iowa loss. And there you go. Here's kind of a sacrificial lamb. Bruce Reed's units did not perform to up to their ability. Not all of that is on him, but from a communication standpoint and a finger-pointing standpoint, which he kind of did after Iowa towards some of the players, you just don't do that. Thanks for coming, Bruce Reed. Best of luck to you.
Right. Not surprised at this at all. Needed to happen. It showed you that Riley's agenda is definitely sped up.
So it's an urgency thing.
It's an urgency thing. He realizes, you know, this needs to happen sooner than later.
It's one of his key guys.
Right.
He's been with him for years, too.
But it's important. I mean, that's one area where you didn't see any drastic improvement. I think the defense, there's some improvement there. But you could argue that the offense maybe digressed.
Oh, you know, big time. Big, points per game, it did.
I mean, but it just didn't get better. And
here's my question to you about the offense. Listen, let's just call it out there. Is it style? Is it still square peg, round hole, or is it just who's running, who's the trigger man, your quarterback? Is the offense going to fit and be much better because Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien's their guy? They've tried to do what they can with Tommy, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Tommy saves their bacon because of his athleticism, and sometimes Tommy on third and four screws up what they want to do when they have three guys wide open because he's trying for a 17-point touchdown. So it's chicken or egg here between quarterback and offensive coordinator. You'll get a clean slate. As much as special teams didn't enhance this 2016 season, your offense was downright non-existent, I know injured. But your offense didn't do what they needed to do. They were worse than last year, not only statistically, but just from an explosion standpoint. I know there were explosive plays, but they could not be counted on very often to go win you a game.
Well, no, I mean,
at all.
But that's just, I know offensive line was, there were some injuries, but I'm telling you, it's just the softness. It's there.
Charmin.
Yeah, yes, yes.
We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Wind down hour one, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, 10 minutes away. We get into meaning to a number that is that 9-win number next hour. Here's what's going on for the holiday season with Hail Varsity. And we're going to use this as kind of a little backdrop to get your attention. This isn't Jay or I or TJ singing. It's prizes. It's the holiday Hail Mary. We read it last year. Why not this year for you? We'll qualify a listener once per hour. Here's what you get. Schrock Innovations Window 10 tablet valued at almost $500. A Jet Splash car wash gift card valued at $100, a remote car starter from Auto Sounds valued at $449. Let me mess that up, right? $449 is what that value is. Meaning when you walk outside and it's just freaking cold out, that auto starter is going to be your savior. Now, you can log on ESPN1480.com for daily details. But what we're going to do is take caller six right now for the Holiday Hail Mary. Caller six qualifies now, our giveaway Friday, December 16th during the 5 o'clock hour. I got to sweet talk you two into being here because I'll be on my way to Donkey Land. So that said, the Holiday Hail Mary, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Caller six qualifies. There you go. You qualify now. Caller six, the Windows 10 tablet, the Jet Splash Car Wash gift certificate, the Auto Sounds car starter. We love you. Happy holidays. Caller six now qualifies with ESPN at Hail Varsity. Okay, plenty to come up next hour. Jim Harbaugh gets fined. Actually, Michigan gets fined. That's hilarious.
They got left pretty easily. You know, easy there.
I mean, Bo says chicken bleep. Harbaugh goes on a diatribe of whininess. That took away from the game. I laughed until I had tears coming down my cheeks with Harbaugh flinging the clipboard and slamming the headset. I thought that was hilarious. But he acted like a scumbag.
Oh, he's a sore loser.
I know, but
Urban is too. So
no, he's a sore. But I mean, Ferentz is a sore loser. Riley's a sore loser. All these guys can be sore losers. But do they put lipstick on that anger? Mm-hmm. Do they have class mm-hmm. in defeat? Is my point. Okay. And there's no class with Harbaugh at all. We'll get into this, I promise you. But
Harbaugh doesn't give a damn either.
No, but that's the point. You know what happened here with the Big Ten fining Michigan? The scene in Godfather 1, okay? You have Mo Green, you have Fredo, and then you have Michael Corleone. And Fredo's the buffer here because he's weak and he's manipulated. And, you know, Michael's like, dude, what are you doing sticking up for Mo Green? You don't do that. Don't take sides against the family. Mo Green's like, bro, I was doing murders when you were out with cheerleaders. I mean, that's a classic scene when Michael Corleone wants to come buy out Mo Green. Mm-hmm. Right now, Michigan is Fredo, weak and helpless. Corleone is Jimbo, the commish. And Mo Green's Harbaugh sticking his middle finger up. What are you going to do? I'm Jim Harbaugh. Fine. Handle your little chimp over there, Michigan. You do it, says Big Ten commish.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day! Day by day! We get better and better!
We get better!
We get big beat!
We get big
beat! Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, a lot to get to as we spent last hour talking about the Iowa debacle, Bruce Reed giving his walking papers. This hour, some thoughts on Jim Harbaugh's fine. Nick Saban losing it. It's not okay to lose, says Saban. We welcome in a tremendous coach, national champion, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied with financial concerns, Emeritus can help you focus and protect those loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees and with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans, 130 years and counting. Emeritus giving you peace of mind and standing with all Nebraska fans. We welcome in Charlie McBride. Coach, happy belated Thanksgiving. I won't ask you about Friday yet. How was Thursday? How was the turkey?
Well, I probably got 3 pounds put on.
Did you? Good work. Nice.
I mean, I might be lying a little.
More like five?
Five, yeah. You just wanted to round it off, right?
Just round up. Mm-hmm. Round up.
That's right.
Well, what did Friday do for you?
Oh, disappointed. I mean, it really was. I don't know, you know, how to explain it, but, you know, going away from home has been kind of tough duty still, and doesn't seem like we can get rolling or get cranked up, or I don't know what the problem is. I mean, that's when you're not there, you don't know. And but I felt like, you know, early it looked like it was going to be okay, and then all of a sudden things seemed to kind of go downhill from there. And you know, a lot of the same things. You know, I just think that overall they beat us up front on both sides of the ball, and that's where it's going to count. And that you saw that happening. So, you know, a lot of big plays that hurt them. You know, I mean, running that one long run really hurt, I think, to get it started with. And, you know, those kind of things can't happen. And I just sometimes I wondered if we're not overrunning stuff, linebackers and stuff like that. I don't overrun. And I know a couple times I saw a shot where they really got caught up in the wash and couldn't get out. And, you know, it was the whole backside was wide open. And so, you know, sometimes there's a responsibility for the backers in certain sets. You have a fast flow, and if you do have fast flow, then you got to count on your backside end and possibly a safety or another linebacker to pick up that backside stuff. And it's on television, it's hard to see, but I heard my son make a comment that they said they had a good game plan and then didn't expect anything different from them and things like that. And the one thing is you can have a good game plan. You just have to have the right people to execute it. And that could be something to look at too, you know, that whether it was too complicated or not complicated enough. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes. And I think when they went to pressure, they made things happen, and then they played catch for a while. And, you know, when you're playing a yard off the ball, you got to understand one thing. When, you know, I always went this way. We started a yard off the ball to teach them to use their peripheral vision, then moved them up as tight as we could on the ball. But that's their philosophy, and that the last few weeks has been to kind of play back off the ball a little bit. And what they call that is more of a reading defense. Mm-hmm. But you also have to remember, once a lineman gets you moving in one direction, and he doesn't worry about a hole. He just takes you where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And and so a lot of times holes are created that way, and on stunts and things like that, when you're running any kind of an inline stunt, that you don't want to form what we call a funnel effect. In other words, the guy coming around the looper who comes second, usually on any kind of a two-man stunt, has to really get squared up and keep his shoulders square. He can't be running sideways because they'll just split you. Your own momentum will split that stunt right up. So there are so many little things you have to look at and you have to practice. And I still go back to the theory that I don't know how hard their practices are physically, but I think they got to get away from, you know, the pro mentality a little bit. And I'm reading between the lines because I haven't been to a practice this year, so I don't know exactly what they're doing. They could be opposite of what I'm saying, but, you know, you say, well, we don't want to get anybody hurt. Well, then put your second team player in there and let them learn something. Don't worry about them. Like the guys that are hurt, get on the side, but get the other players, you know, some contact. And, you know, you got to get used to the speed of the game somehow, some way during the week. You can't just go with the scout team because they've already slowed you down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's 1,000 things you could look at. And, you know, you just have to feel comfortable, I think, as a player, you know, and confidence. And a lot of times when you rotate people so much that I know playing in the secondary, a group playing together is really important. Playing in the offensive line, a group is really, really important. I think in the defensive line, it's not as important necessarily as long as you do your job, whether you're a gap control team or two-gap team or whatever you're doing. You know, the change in personnel isn't quite as significant as is, say, with the offensive line and the secondary. I think the secondary really has to feel for each other. They have to know where their help's coming from. And by doing that, I think guys feel comfortable when they work together at a long time together. I mean, you know, not switching guys in and out. And I think sometimes that brings confusion, coming on the field fast, when they're lining up and you sometimes get confused as to where you're supposed to line up and things like that. But, there's 100 things. When you get done with a season, you sit down and find out. I know we used to get all our long plays or the plays that hurt us. You know, I can't remember whether it was 12 or 15 yards, one or the other, anything longer than that, whether it was a run or a pass. We went and broke it down and find out what was the problem. And you can go through years and years and years of this stuff, and probably the biggest problem you have is tackling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why was this play a big play? Well, because we didn't tackle well. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, as you go back to the old theory of football, you can go back and start the first book that I ever read was all about blocking and tackling. And I was about seventh grade when I read that book, and I think that's still the name of the game. You know, you got to be able to block somebody and tackle somebody, and you got to have good feet on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. And be able to get rid of blocks, shed blocks, and do things like that. So, you know, those are the fundamental things have to be done over and over and over and over in practice. They can't just be standing around in a pair of shorts and T-shirts or whatever it is and playing brownies and fairies. You got to go knock the snot out of somebody during the week. And, because me, I'd blow my stack if I went over there and they're all in shorts and, you know, playing, you know, whatever, talking to each other and stuff like that. I don't know. I just get worked up.
Me and you have discussed numerous times, even back to Ohio State game, about how you practice, and that's the biggest deal. And I mean, I said it doesn't take a genius to say if you're getting after it in a week of practice, where you, because I always like to say, don't mistake activity with achievement. You know, you could be out there doing something, you could be in pads, but are you really getting after it? You know, and
sure.
You know, but my whole thing was this team, and would you agree, this team lacks an identity. What are they? Are they a power football team? What are they? They don't have that. You can't say they're not a physical football team. I said offensively, we're kind of more smoke and mirrors, you know, have one guy going this way, one guy going that way.
Right.
But this team is lacking an identity. Do you agree?
No. I guarantee it. I've said it 100 times. What are we doing? I used to have to laugh. Everybody would say, well, we know what Tom's going to call in this play. Well, they probably do, so we call it. So what's the difference if you know? It's you're either running football team or passing football team. And, you know, one of the things that I think really helped our football team on the offensive side of the ball was, number one, Dan Young and Milt Tenneper, both our line coaches. Milt would take care of the running side part of it with all the line calls and all of that stuff, and Dan would take care of the passing game. So, like, one would be with Milt and two would be with Dan, and then they just switched. And so they were getting work all the time. They weren't standing around, you know, getting five guys ready while the other guys watched and picked up stuff by osmosis or something. You know, it was all, they were moving all the time, learning all the time, and against the other team's defenses. And this is just in group, basically in group work. And then, you know, you'd go to teamwork, but you'd have all this stuff done, and you'd have it, you'd work on, and during a certain period of time, you'd work on both the run and the pass, and you were all doing something. And that to me was one of the biggest things that I saw in our during my time at Nebraska, that I felt they got more repetition and they got to see more things rather than just say, okay, we're going to work on run now, and you got two or three teams, and you're standing there, okay, you're up, and so on and so forth. You know, I believe in scrimmaging. You got to, if you're going to scrimmage, you can call it that. We never took the backs down, or we never, you know, cut anybody, and we took care of each other is what we did. And as always brought up, you know, you take care of each other. Don't do something stupid to get somebody hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet it's full speed. And up front it was, you know, full speed, and you just didn't wrap the back up and throw them on the ground or tackle them around the ankles or something like that. You stayed up on them, and it really worked well. And you only had so many plays a week of that. But again, I used to tell the scout team, go over there and knock the snot out of them and make them play. You know, don't practice like they want to practice. You practice like you want to practice. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I think they get over there and they get mad at, we'd have fights. Yeah, with the scout team guys, don't try so hard once in a while to hear that one. And Tom would go haywire when he heard that. You know, you're trying too hard, or you're trying to be an All-American, or what are you trying to do? No, I'm trying to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer. And so a lot of things can happen. If you're going to run the football, you better have a bunch of grinders up front, and you better not sit there and work on pass blocking all week and then say you're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Coach, 90 seconds left here. Would you rather have a practice of, you know, 2.5 hours, a longer one, but where you're, it's more, you know, you're not really getting after it? Or would you rather have like an hour and a half, 2 hour practice where you got on the field, you got off, but you got after, you got physical,
right.
You knocked
yep.
some guys around, but you got on, you got off, and you achieved what you need to get done?
Yeah, I don't think our practice went longer than 2 hours at any practice, preseason, any of them. Maybe 2:15 if we had something special at the end, some special stuff with kicking or something like that. But, We were going all the time, and like I've said before 100 times, we had pro scouts coming in when the scout team's running against us, and we're going. I mean, we're going to take care of those scout team guys, but we're going to let them have it. And I remember one time one of the kids that's older now called me, Doc, Coach, run it again. Well, they knew. To run it again, we're going to get stoned, and that's right, you will get stoned. And the thing is, like Roger Craig said to me, if I wasn't on that scout team, I would never been the kind of back that I was. Because he'd fight for his life every day, you know. And, you know, those things make people better players. And you know, if you can put your arm around the guy and thank him for doing a great job, it brings the team closer together.
Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, we'll catch up next week. We'll know where the bowl destination is. Always appreciate you, and thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, well, save me a couple tickets because I think I'm going to go.
Okay, we'll be there, man. That'll be good. That sounds good.
Okay.
Take
thanks,
care,
Coach.
Coach. Uh-huh. There
talk
he is.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye now.
I've never played brownies and fairies on the sideline.
Oh, that was great. You need to cut that one out, TJ. Save that one.
Oh, Coach McBride. That's so good. He was just kind of going there about physical practice, and then boom.
He got heated.
He got fired up.
He hit his threshold.
And it's true. You can't be a
pass-minded
team, but want to run it on Saturday.
Right. What are you trying to accomplish when you get out there? I mean,
but it's
some guys, some practices, and this is more NFL, is you get to your spot, you do your duty, you do your assignment, you take care of one each other, everyone stays up. Okay, that's great, but that doesn't work like that in football. You can do that when you're a 5, 6, 7 year NFL vet because you've played hundreds and hundreds of football games, you know what it takes, but you can't do that with 19... 20, you just can't. It sucks. We hated it as a player in college, but I mean, it's you have to make it physical.
We'll talk about that number 9-3 as we thank Coach McBride. Hail Varsity continues.
Former blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Gotta love Coach McBride. If you missed Mondays with Charlie, you can log on HailVarsity.com. Be a premium subscriber to an amazing online community, HailVarsity.com. We get you a shot to qualify for a free 6-month subscription here before we're done. Go see your friends at Zipline Brewing. Marcus and Company, I'm not going to lie to you, I was there a couple of times during the weekend after the Iowa game. And Zipline, their new tap house is incredible. The old German beer hall on 56th and Pine Lake. 24 taps, neighborhood bar, community tables. I invite you to go there if you're in town or you live in town this holiday season, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sundays, noon to 6. And Zipline, of course, started in Lincoln. Great sales, record sales the last 4 years. And if you haven't had a chance to try Zipline, do so today. Gold medal winning Copper Alt, nationally recognized IPA, 40 different beers, a taste for you. And you can find your friends at Zipline across the state of Nebraska, 6-packs and also on draft around the state. Pick up a Zipline 6-pack today or a draw at your favorite grocery store, bottle shop, or watering hole. And, of course, visit both locations if you have time. This holiday season, the Westo Tap Room, the original, and the new Zipline German Beer Hall. Schmitz love German beer halls, okay? We love Zipline. 56th and Pine Lake here in Lincoln. Go see your friends at Zipline. Zipline Brewing, and it's brewed here in Lincoln, but poured for all of Nebraska. Coach McBride kind of poured on some great analysis here with how Nebraska was a physical offensive line for decades. You had two guys working with it. You built depth. You got reps. You didn't have guys just in shorts. You just were physical. It's a different day and age of college football from a contact standpoint. That said, it just needs to be refreshed more, I think. Listen, the way Nebraska went in and tackled this year against Indiana with the bye week and then got ready for Wisconsin, those were probably the two best games, I think, of the year for Nebraska when it came to being physical defensively and tackling. And even on the offensive side of things, they were pretty physical running the football against Wisconsin, who I think we all agree on is pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're top four defense.
They've shown they can do it, but it's an instance where it was done once, not repeatedly. Mm-hmm. That's the question mark, is consistency. 9-3 is a number that is circled and celebrated at Nebraska because you did it for so long. It looked easy, and it wasn't, under Coach Osborne. And that's the number. You got to hit that 9-win number. Well, I want to discuss that. What's the meaning associated with not? It's kind of the bar. It's the minimum expectation, but it's not anything to sneeze at. But to me, I'm going to sneeze at 9-3. 8-4, 9-3 was the number. How do you get to the numbers, what I'm talking about? And right now, I think very gallant and valiant loss to Wisconsin. I'll give you a fist pound for the win against Minnesota, which I think Minnesota's really underrated football team. I think Northwestern, depending on when you catch them, pretty good ball game. I'm not going to sneeze at it's your Oregon win, but it's not. All the hindsight says you should have beat Oregon.
Right.
But at least you did. And then your loss. Your loss to Iowa. I think your loss to Iowa is a giant cherry bomb in the toilet. It absolutely undoes some of the progress you made with the effort against Wisconsin. Ohio State was, I don't know what to tell you, except that they were.
It's like an asterisk type of game. It's like
they were fighting mad and they were ready. Bottom line is, I thought you were beyond the blowouts. I said that after Ohio State, but I can concede that they were going to hurt anybody that night. So you're going to get blown out. Most people would have been blown out. Mm-hmm. But Iowa, you don't get blown out by. So 9-3 smells a little different to me. I look at their 6-7 season, as bad as it was to lose to Purdue and Illinois, at least you beat UCLA. At least you beat Michigan State. At least you beat somebody worth a damn. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that this year. They had some okay wins, some good wins.
Yeah.
But there were no great wins.
No signature win.
So they still don't have a signature win, in my opinion.
They do?
They don't.
Okay, no.
I'm fine with it. I mean, you try to find one. I mean, it's like, is Minnesota?
That's the point.
But
You're finding one. You're trying to find.
I said this before. I still think the best game we played this year was at a loss in Wisconsin. That's the best we've looked.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was in the loss to Wisconsin.
So does 9-3 mean anything to you? Are you high-fiving me? Hey, Nebraska got to 9 wins. I think this is an example of where 9 doesn't mean or matter as much as past years because of who you didn't beat and how you played in your losses.
See, I tried to compare it to other Big Ten teams. So I think a fair comparison, you can't compare Nebraska to Michigan and Ohio State. That's a whole nother level. But it's a fair comparison to put up together Wisconsin and Nebraska, in my opinion. Okay? To me, it is. Because eyeball test, watching it. I mean, listen, they're not more talented than we are.
They're just better.
They have a better culture right now. They have that physical nature. You know, when you play Wisconsin, it's going to be a physical-ass football game. No matter what, they might not have burners on the edge. They might not have 4- and 5-star guys. They know what they have. They have guys who get after it and play good technique, do their job. They take care of the football, and they get after your ass.
Punch your face in.
Yeah.
They beat you up.
Right. And listen, I compare it to how Wisconsin played some of those other teams that, you know, we played. I mean, listen, we were down at half to Purdue. We were down at half at Illinois. We were like those, you know. Those type of things. Listen, I said before this year, I said 8-4 is my number. I said 7-5. I thought was I didn't feel that was a step forward. I thought 8-4 was kind of the status quo. I think 9-3. I said, listen, that's a step forward. That's an improvement. I can't go away from that. I still agree. But
Based on the number,
but it's tainted.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the number says
because
the number says step forward, but in reality. Did they take a step forward? Are they a better football team?
My favorite word today is kind of phrase has been smoke and mirrors. I think this 9-3 is a little smoke and mirrors. I mean, you look at the wins. Listen, the win against Fresno was kind of ho-hum. The Wyoming game ended up being, you know, again,
the guy
closer.
Gave the football. Right. They forced turnovers.
I get it. But this just never was a clean, good, you know, type of ball game, you know, that just like, man. And Wisconsin for me was, I don't know if you call it clean. I mean, Tommy had a couple of turnovers, but for both sides of the ball, like that's
it's the
most consistent we've played.
It's the best they've looked in a long time.
Right, without a doubt. And it's just you always like to try to finish the season on somewhat high note. And granted, there's a bowl game left, and they play in the Outback Bowl or whatever, who they play. They could beat a decent team, but again, here's what this is kind of the frustrating part is. How sick would you have been if Minnesota would have ended up beating Wisconsin?
They were working on it.
Right.
They were working on
right.
it.
Leitner did his second half deal. But listen, how sick would you have felt? I mean, that's the thing is when you have still an opportunity like that is to completely lay an egg with an opportunity still in front of you to get to Indianapolis.
See, I don't get how that how does that happen?
I don't.
I mean, I know I'm asking the $64,000 question, but how does that happen? How does that happen when it's there for you? I was with Junior. We're at a bar, shocker. And we're watching. He wanted to watch Michigan State. I said, this is going to get ugly, Junior. But he wore his you know, green anyway. So we're watching Michigan State. I had one eye on the Bama game. And then we're watching Minnesota. And then Minnesota just kept punching and then ultimately, Leitner happened.
Well, you went through 3 picks in the fourth quarter?
Four in the second half. And that's the thing if you're Minnesota. Minnesota was up on Penn State. Minnesota was up on Nebraska mm-hmm. at halftime. Minnesota was up on Wisconsin at halftime. Minnesota was up on – who else did they lose to? Carry the one. That doesn't matter. They were up. Mm-hmm. They were up in all of their losses, okay, and didn't finish out. Nebraska gets 9 wins. Who did they beat? No one that makes you super proud. No one they shouldn't have lost to. They beat people they were supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. Is that the progress this year then? Compared to 15, yes, but grand picture here.
I mean, is
you're still at 9 wins. You still got blown out in 2 of your 3 losses.
Mm-hmm. You beat the people. Listen, we won every game we were favored in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you're favored by 21 against Illinois, and you got to fight – fight your tail off in the fourth quarter to beat them.
No, I look at this year and I'm like, look, 9-3, it looks good, but it's fool's gold.
Right. Well, because
it's fool's gold in comparison when you're talking about is Nebraska a player or not. And quite honestly, they're closer to Minnesota and Indiana right now and Northwestern. And on a good day where they don't decide to get, you know, ripped off and robbed in the lunchroom, they can beat Iowa. They've beaten Iowa, not the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But that's where that's their neighborhood, man.
Right.
That's their neighborhood. And they are a team that right now just 9-3 looks fine, but if you want to dive into it, if you want any substance to it, there isn't much.
Well, people are smart. I mean, they know. They know. I mean, it's listen, 9-3, I mean, you go back to Bo's, the 9-3s, it was kind of the same scenario. You lost
a
game.
It's a miracle they won 9 games half the time.
They always lost a close game that they probably shouldn't have, they should have won, and then you always had a couple bad losses in there. Similar type of deal, but there's a lot. I mean, this offense, we still don't know what it's going to look like heading forward.
Here's the other thing about Wisconsin. Look at, they were at the end of that death march.
Yeah,
when they got Nebraska.
People didn't give
Nebraska, I mean, just to be honest, you're caught Wisconsin at a great time.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I
agree. Well, that's just the thing is, I speak to culture. I mean, with Wisconsin, what they got. I mean, people didn't give Wisconsin a shot in hell this year. They thought 7 wins was the magic number they could get to. I mean, they won 10 damn football games in that and against that schedule. That was a brutal.
And they got a chance for 11 and to win a title.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's – I'm just telling you. I mean, they don't have – I mean, their quarterback situation, I tell you what, they would take Tommy Armstrong up there.
Okay.
I mean
– athleticism-wise?
Well, just saying what they have, but they have their guys. They have their guys.
Well, they got their run game. They got their O-line.
You can do a lot of damage, especially in the Big Ten, when your defense you know is going to step up day in and day out, not go and lose eggs and not get 40 and 50 and 60 burgers put up on you.
9-3, does it make you smile or are you scoffing at it? We'll take your calls when we come back. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're talking about that 9-win number. All numbers not created equal. Look at Wisconsin. They have 2 losses this year. They're 10-2. But even if you tack on another loss based on the schedule they had going into it, and Wisconsin did not get annihilated by anybody. They played great football.
No. Should have been Ohio State.
They had an overtime win, an overtime loss, and then a regular season loss to Michigan. Mm-hmm. And they had a chance at Penn State. I think you're pretty proud of what they did or how they played. I want to remind you about Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamonds available. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Holiday season is here, and why not make it affordable for you and make it special for her with a 1 carat diamond. $100 a month is what you spend with approved credit, limited time offer. And think of that carat, right? She'll smile, she'll love it, and you'll be the hero. SauterHeyman.com, YourBestRing.com, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion around West in Grand Island. We'll get to the phones here. Jason's been hanging on. Jason, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. Hey, Jay. I've been laying pretty low for quite a while now. You know, Schmitty, I've been listening to you for several years. I don't know. The loss barely even hurt, you know? And I'm
Are you that numb to it?
Yeah,
right,
that's
that
what
it?
I am. I just am, Schmitty.
Your expectation level is zero now.
What's that?
Said your expectation level is zero now.
We've got so complacent, and when you gripe and grumble, people are like, hey, get off the coach's back. Get off. Fine, keep Riley. If that's what people want, keep him.
This conversation isn't about, you know, hitting the eject button. I'm talking about.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm one of those guys. Riley's not a killer. You know, Osborne was a stately, classy, stoic killer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was gentle as a lamb, but he was a killer. Just like Saban, just like the Ohio State coach.
Different personality.
Just like Bobby Bowden. Yeah, like Bobby Bowden was back in his day. The Mad Hatter in LSU kind of is. He's a little crazy. Switzer was a killer. They were charismatic. They were flavorful. They were fun. But they were killers. You can't teach a 60-some-year-old gentle guy like Riley to be a killer. He's just not. And that doesn't mean he's not an okay coach. I mean, 9-3 is not bad. I'm not furious about it. But we're supposed to be up there with the blue blood programs, the top eight. If you list every program, Nebraska's got a top eight program resume with Ohio State, USC, Michigan, Notre Dame, Alabama, Oklahoma. And I don't know if I said Ohio State, but there's seven or eight programs. And you might, some people would throw in a Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're just not in the big dog mix anymore. And people around here just seem to be just fine with it. Those national titles. I mean, no one, we'd all like to be back there, but people are like, yeah, we won our national titles in the 90s. It's like, I've had too much turkey. I'm good for a while. You know, oh, it's so good, though. And people are like, people are comfortable. The loss doesn't barely even hurt. I was more excited to watch that UCLA-Nebraska basketball game later that night.
No, I hear you. Brian, thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate you tuning in. Yep. Listen, I don't think it's a case of people comfortable. I just think there's outrage with this loss. I absolutely do. I absolutely think there's a ton of outrage with the loss.
It's frustrating to... Iowa's not that much more talented. It's not like the Ohio State thing. Obviously, Ohio State has more talent. But when you literally get manhandled, obliterated, when you lose up front the way we did, that's very, very frustrating against a team like Iowa.
You, as Nebraska fans, can take losing. They don't take kindly, no matter the year or coach or whoever, to getting manhandled.
Ass kickings.
Yes. Nebraska crossed a 50 twice to a team that they should have beat.
Yeah, it was.
Or been in the game with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to get beat. It's another thing to get annihilated and humiliated.
I mean, I said it was going to be a close game, but it was not. I mean, that was, I was, honestly, I had to get to a deal later that evening, but I was like, I was doing stuff in the second half. I'm like, was driving around town, just listening on the radio. I mean, it's hard to watch because there's just no,
there was no chance. And it needs to change.
Yeah, it does. It starts up front.
You need to play tougher football.
It starts up front and it starts up with the head man. You got...
But I don't write it off that he can't fix this.
No, absolutely.
Or that they won't change their personality.
Right.
I mean, he's shown the ability to try and adapt to a mobile quarterback. He learned from 2015. He's made coaching changes. I'm not saying he can't get it done. I think a lot of Nebraska fans really like Coach Riley and want him to get it done. Mm-hmm. They just got to change the personality. They got to get tougher. They got to get meaner. Says the wheezy guy that doesn't wear the pads or the eye black.
Well, I'm just being straight
with there's still a chance to do it, but by now, as you shouldn't get crushed on Black Friday by Iowa.
No, at this point. No.
So you better fix it and fix it fast. Brian's been on hold. Is this Brian part two? All right. Brian, go ahead. Thanks for hanging.
Well, hey, guys. Jay stole over my thunder. I was just going to say, in terms of the big picture, if you go back to Ohio State, and this isn't rocket science, and then obviously Iowa last week, they got to recruit up front big time, and we got to get much more physical. Just breaking down that Ohio State-Iowa game, the number of missed tackles, and really just the lack of passion was the most disappointing thing. But they got absolutely crushed up front on Friday and against Ohio State. And if they're ever going to compete consistently, they have got to get talented, tough dudes and a lot of them on both sides of the ball. But particularly on that defensive line and those linebackers, that was really, really disappointing on Friday. And that's all I got.
Brian, appreciate it. That's it. And you can go after the talent, but you better first get tough dudes. And I think there are – I think Kevin Maurice is a tough dude. I think Nick Gates is a tough dude. I think Nate Gary's a super tough dude. I think you have some toughness there, but not everybody's on that same level of toughness.
Right. Well, here's how it starts. Is
so and Tommy Armstrong's a tough dude.
You know, I'm not questioning the tough. I'm just it's how they're being asked to do things. You know, I mean, you don't need four. I mean, it helps to have 4- and 5-star O-line, D-line recruits, but you can get 3 stars. You know what? You redshirt them, but you know how they get better? Is going against a great offensive line the redshirt year. And
or going up getting, against great defensive.
Right, and just getting worked and getting after it and not doing the whole brother-in-law thing in practice. Like, hey, man, take it easy on me. You know, doing that. Guys do that.
The brother-in-law thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that happens. Or, hey, give me which way is this play going? Guys want that because they want it easy. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's it's hard sometimes, but you can't that's how that happens when
Uncle Andy, I say give me another beer. Take it easy on me.
That's when you see these performances like Iowa. That's what happens in practice, man. I mean, it's just but that it's a cultural thing now, and it's got to come to where those guys got to hate getting embarrassed so much that they can get over that hump and have that mentality.
Is the embarrassment hurt? That's a great point. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt. More of your calls. TJ, we'll get both giveaways here done next hour, I promise you. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Let's get Jim in here before we say goodbye. Jim, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick. I had a guy close to the program tell me you got to have a 10% rule where 10% of your players are, don't want to say thugs, but on the edge. You know what I mean? I don't think we have that. What do you guys think, Jay?
Appreciate the call, Jim. The thug question.
Listen, you don't need thugs. You need guys that when they
get about 10. You need a few psychos.
Well, yeah. Right? Well, everyone, you have to have a little bit of a psycho in you to get out in the field. I mean, you can be a nice guy off the field, but as soon as you cross those lines, you got to turn into a different man.
I think Gates is one. I think Gates is one of those guys.
Gates that has that
edge.
Yeah, has that prick in him, like we've said before.
Yes, you have. So there we have it, Jim. Thanks for the call. Okay, here's what we got. Caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776-800, 825-5865. Caller 5 gets a 6-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Everyone on the road, recruiting, going nuts, people are heading everywhere. Find it with Hail Varsity, in-depth recruiting analysis, Jake Jensen, Aaron Sorensen, Brandon Vogel. Great content, access to the message board. Caller 5 now gets that 6-month online premium Hail Varsity subscription. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Can I get a little hallelujah? Made it through the show. Haven't barfed up a lung yet. Working on it. I'm making Jay just very uneasy. Some of that phlegm can high-five me. It's wonderful. Caller 6, the holiday Hail Mary with ESPN. I'm working on it here. I'm about to go Bob Uecker post-game. I can't find it. The heck with it.
So, I watched that movie Sunday.
Good.
Great movie.
Needed something. Caller 6 qualifies for the holiday Hail Mary. And you get a tablet from Schrock. You get a Jet Splash car wash certificate. And you get a car starter from Auto Sounds. When winter's beating you and your car up, at least it will be warm inside. So that's caller 6 to 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 5, the online subscription to HailVarsity.com for 6 months. Caller 6, the holiday Hail Mary with ESPN and Hail Varsity. So get in there. It's prizes galore. The first of this week of prizes, because we love you all. Bird, what do you got going tonight? Are you going
to
watch Philly? Have
I
you
might.
Seen
I'll
any donkey
in.
Fans right now wandering in traffic?
My brother's a donkey fan. No, there's a lot of donkey fans around here. That's a good game, though.
It was great.
I stopped watching. I read War Dogs last night.
Tell me about that.
Oh, good movie. Miles Teller and Jonah Hill.
Okay.
They're the
Fat Jonah or
Fat Jonah.
Okay.
Play these. It's a true story. Two guys from Miami, small time arms dealers, and they landed one of the largest deals, the Afghan deal, $300 million deal.
Is that it?
Landed, but a lot of all these other things were going underneath it, and they get busted, but for fraud and all these other things, because literally two guys trying to run this whole deal. Sweet movie.
Okay.
Really good movie. But then I finished out the game.
Okay. The edge rushing had to make you smile.
Miller. Houston's really freaking, he's phenomenal.
He is.
So, I mean, obviously Vaughn is one of the best, too, but.
Yeah. Good enough.
They're fun to watch.
Bird, we'll see you Thursday?
Yeah.
Or sometime?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks to DJ Schmitty, Jay Moore. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity.